This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Sean Wade. Sean is with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll talk with Sean in just a moment. First off, let's talk farm labor housing. Rural Development Undersecretary Basil Gooden discusses the aspects of two farm labor housing funding programs with both currently accepting applications.
We have two components. We have the off-farm component of farm labor housing and then the on-farm farm labor housing. So $43 million would be made available for the off-farm farm labor housing component, and that can be utilized by nonprofit organizations, by farmers, federally recognized tribes, individuals that are in the housing arena to actually provide housing that will go for farm labor workforce and their families.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers. And Sean, as we are now into early May, it means for some producers, the planters have been rolling, others are getting ready. So first off, what are we seeing as far as conditions go?
Looking at Dr. Ken Leger's most recent kind of planting conditions forecast, he is showing that, you know, we're really in pretty good condition across the High Plains region, all the way from the Panhandle down, through the southern portions in La Mesa, Dawson, Martin counties. I think, you know, it is the 1st of May, so we're just on the front end of our planting window, and so our big concerns right now are just, you know, the propensity for us to maybe cool off a little bit at night, especially if we should get, you know, some thunderstorms or some fronts come through that could, you know, provide us some, you know, certainly beneficial moisture for planting, but can also kind of cool those soil conditions down as well, which can, you know, maybe put a little bit of a delay or you know, cause a little bit of stress for those young cotton seedlings. So I think as we kind of enter this first week of May, there's a lot of people that are now ready to plant. I mean, they've gotten everything tuned up. All the planters are ready to go. Seeds lined up. They're just looking for those conditions to be optimum to put that seed in the ground and get, you know, that best push to get this crop started. So as we go through this week and then into next week, I think the main things for producers to be watching out for, and this is echoed, like I said, by Dr. Leger, is to just kind of keep an eye on those soil moisture conditions, make sure that you've got, you know, that adequate soil moisture that you need, but then also kind of look at the soil temperatures in that upper 6 inches or so, and just kind of keep an eye on the forecast to see if there's any chance that, you know, we might get a rain or a cold front that maybe could cool that top surface area down a little bit below maybe optimum conditions for those young seedlings to kind of emerge into. So really just I think everybody's ready to go and are excited to start getting this crop planted here on the High Plains. And again, conditions are certainly trending in the right direction, and we'll just hope for some, you know, beneficial rainfall events to kind of get us really kind of set up for a good start in 2024.
Okay, and again, there's a couple of, well, there's more than one variable as far as when we plant. One is soil temp. Another would be, you know, weather conditions. And another one, again, the insurance date. And that differs all across the belt, right?
It does. And here on the High Plains, you know, we are very cognizant of that calendar and the insurance final planting dates. And so we will see, you know, activity really begin to pick up first in our northern and western counties who have that earliest final plant date for crop insurance, and that's May the 31st. So we're just about, you know, a month to go until final planting date in those regions. And then as we kind of move south and east, we'll have the middle tier of the High Plains, you know, Lubbock, La Mesa, Leveland, Lubbock, Plainview, Floyd, Ada, kind of that middle tier is going to have a June the 5th final plant date. And then our southern counties, La Mesa, say Dawson County, Gaines County, Yoakum County, those areas will have more of a June 10th type final planting date. So, again, it's kind of a diagonal line, kind of cutting across the area. And so we'll see planting really begin to pick up first, I think, in those northern and western areas that have, you know, maybe that shorter window. They'll try to get that cotton in as soon as conditions are optimum for them to maximize their growing season. And then we'll see producers in the middle and southern tiers in those June 5 and June 10 counties begin to pick up the pace as well as we get into that, you know, say around the 10th of May for sure. And then by the middle of May, everybody's going to be going pretty much full bore to get these acres kind of planted and get things off to a good start.
Okay. We often talk about, well, we talk with Plains cotton growers on a regular basis, and from time to time talk to Cotton Incorporated, Cotton Board. There are multiple organizations out there, and maybe some don't know the different roles. They're not competing organizations, are they?
No, we actually work very closely together on different aspects of you know, the cotton industry and some of the, you know, what the needs are for producers. You mentioned the National Cotton Council, for instance. So that's our national organization that is actually an organization that represents the different segments of the cotton industry. So you have, you know, a gender segment, a producer segment, merchant segment, manufacturers, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we have the National Cotton Council handling kind of a national scope from a policy perspective, and then they kind of work on the promotion side through a subsidiary that we would identify as Cotton Council International, which helps kind of the U.S. cotton industry market itself abroad and into those international markets that are so important to us. And then kind of parallel to Cotton Council International, you would have the Cotton Board, which is the kind of quasi-governmental entity that helps oversee the cotton research and promotion program that all producers kind of contribute to during the course of marketing their cotton. A portion of the value of that bale is submitted to the Cotton Board for the Cotton Research and Promotion Program. And then the Cotton Board would then in turn turn over and oversee the operations of Cotton Incorporated, which is our domestic research and promotion arm for the cotton industry. So they're the folks, you know, that are in charge of kind of helping us market our cotton to our domestic users, and then also look after a significant research program to kind of help the cotton industry stay on the cutting edge technology-wise on both the production and the manufacturing sides of things. So we have a very broad industry that's very well represented with some, you know, real specialization, I think, is the best way to think of it in terms of, you know, different organizations that kind of all work cohesively together, but then work on, you know, different aspects, different needs that producers may have to be successful in their operations and in their marketing. So, you know, tying all that together, our regional cotton producer organizations, like the Plains Cotton Growers in Texas, we have actually 9 regional cotton producer organizations. Plains Cotton Grower, South Texas Cotton and Grain, Rolling Plains Cotton Grower, Southern Rolling Plains. So we have, you know, quite a few different regions in the state of Texas where we're localized producer groups kind of work together to then identify leadership that then kind of moves up into those leadership positions within Cotton Incorporated, within the Cotton Board, within the National Cotton Council and Cotton Council International. So it's a very grassroots-based kind of structure where the leadership is identified through groups like Plains Cotton Growers, and then those individuals move up and represent our local neighbors, our local growing regions at the national level, and work on common policy issues for producers across the belt. So it's a great industry structure, and certainly one that's lended itself to a lot of success over the years. So it can be a little confusing at times, I certainly understand. But I think a thing to understand and know is that we have good leadership and good producers that are willing to take the times out of their operations to volunteer and serve on these different leadership positions at both the regional, state, and national levels to really make sure that our industry continues to move forward.
Just 2 minutes left, and speaking of taking time off, Fridays are a pretty big day if you can be there in person or join in virtually to an event at Plains Cotton Growers, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we've been lucky enough to do is put together a meeting bi-weekly, every other week during the growing season, and then once a month during the kind of the out months, during the winter months. But through the years, it's become a very valued resource for people interested in what's going on throughout the Texas High Plains. Certainly our area is one of the largest production regions in the country, and so it's really hard to be in every part of the area on a weekly basis or even on a biweekly basis. And so our Plains Cotton Advisory Group meeting, is an opportunity for individuals that are interested in what's going on, producers, allied industry folks, extension researchers, university researchers, to kind of come together and share information that they've seen from different parts of their travels, in between times of meetings, and help everybody kind of keep up to speed on what's happening in this region from a cotton perspective. And like you say, it's really a beneficial meeting if you're in Lubbock and can come by the Plains Cotton Growers office at 7:30 in the morning on a Plains Cotton Advisory Group meeting day. We'd certainly enjoy kind of hosting you and having you participate in those meetings. But if not, we do have the Zoom option, and folks are encouraged to join online and listen into the conversation and into the discussions. Our next meeting is actually scheduled for May the 10th, which will begin our biweekly schedule. So after May the 10th, we would then switch to May. The next meeting after that would be May the 24th. And you can find those meeting and events on our Plains Cotton Growers website, on our events page, along with links to the Zoom and other information about the Plains Cotton Advisory Group meetings, as well as, you know, other meetings that are on the calendar that might be of interest around the area. So certainly encourage folks to try and get involved and to maybe to take in one of our advisory group meetings and kind of learn what's going on within the cotton industry here on the High Plains. And again, all of that information can be found on the Plains Cotton Growers website at www.plainscotton.org.
Sean Wade is Director of Policy Analysis and Research, Plains Cotton Growers, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Sean Wade, Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Those frozen, raw, breaded, and stuffed chicken products you see in your supermarket only use less than 0.2% of the total U.S. chicken supply.
Yet they represent approximately 5% of all chicken-associated outbreaks in the U.S.
Outbreaks of salmonella. This from USDA food safety official Sandra Eskin. It seems some consumers think those products are already cooked and safe from salmonella, so they're eating raw chicken. So Eskin says USDA is declaring salmonella as an adulterant in these products. What does that mean?
It means that a product that has more than the allowed amount of salmonella in it cannot be sold to consumers. It should not leave the processing plant.
And so USDA will be doing salmonella testing of the chicken before it's incorporated into those food products. And Eskin says
these type of measures can result in meaningful reductions in foodborne illness. And that's our job.
Gary Crawford, Washington.